Heat lingers in the ground long after an eruption ends. It hides in the stone, in the fractured ridges, in the thin dust that moves with the wind. Anyone who studies these islands learns quickly that danger is never gone. It only waits. People built homes on these volcanic slopes long before written memory. They carved roads through valleys that could choke with ash without warning. They planted crops in soils born from fire, trusting the same earth that could tear itself open again. The Caribbean volcanic arc looks quiet from the sky. Up close, it feels different. Old scars show where mountain flanks collapsed. Sharp cuts mark where pyroclastic flowants moved fast enough to erase entire settlements. These places shaped the first people who arrived. They gave food, water, and shelter, but demanded attention. Every decision carried risk. Every sunrise brought another reminder that life depended on understanding a landscape that could shift in a single night. Chapter 1: The Ground Beneath Their Feet. Morning light settles across a volcanic ridge on St. Vincent. The air carries a weight that does not lift. Ash clings to old gullies, turning the ground a muted gray. Standing near the crest, researchers move slowly, marking collapsed slopes and warped rock. Nothing here feels stable. The ridge holds the memory of past violence. When wind moves across the surface, loose grains shift and fall, hinting at deep fractures beneath. The Caribbean volcanic arc begins here, in this pressure. The region sits on a subduction zone where one plate sinks beneath another. Magma rises through weaknesses and builds chambers hidden under the crust. Over years, those chambers push upward. When the pressure breaks, an island forms. Lava hardens. New land meets the sea. These islands did not appear quietly. Their creation left cliffs, jagged ridges, and unstable ground that shaped the first steps of anyone who tried to build a life here. Archaeologists working near an old lava plain uncover small traces from some of the earliest known settlements. They find stone tools shaped with steady hands. They find charcoal layers that show fire use near the edge of cooling flows. These layers sit close to the surface, preserved under thin ash deposits. Each find marks a decision by early communities to settle near fertile ground, despite clear signs of danger. They needed soil that could hold crops. They needed water that gathered in volcanic basins. The price was exposure to a landscape that could change without any warning. Farther downslope, a collapsed area tells another story. A blanket of ancient ash lies over what was once a living space. The layer is thick enough to show sudden abandonment. There are no signs of slow decline, no evidence of gradual relocation. The eruption that buried this site moved fast. It drove people away in a rush that left little behind. The ash sealed their absence, covering walls and tools, and leaving a silent record of a moment when the land turned violent and forced an entire community to flee. These patterns repeat across the volcanic chain. On St. Lucia, deep trenches reveal burned soil under layers of hardened debris. On Grenada, rock beds show clear lines where heat and ash changed the color of the earth. Each site points to people who lived close to risk. They built structures near ridges because the soil there was soft enough to farm. They dug into slopes because the ground held water. They stayed near volcanic fields because crops grew faster after eruptions, fed by minerals the earth pushed upward. Early settlement clusters formed in these narrow safe zones. Too close to the crater and life was short. Too far from volcanic soil and farming was difficult. People settled in pockets where they believed the land gave more than it threatened. These pockets were small. They stretched along ridges and valleys where the ground felt firm. Even then, nothing was fully secure. A single tremor could break open a slope. A single plume of gas could warn of rising pressure underground. Researchers walk through one of these ancient pockets now. The ridge is uneven. Loose rubble shifts underfoot. The soil is dark and rich, evidence of repeated cycles of eruption and renewal. They find fragments of pottery near the edge of an old terrace. The shards rest in soil that once grew early crops. The placement shows deliberate planning. People understood the rhythm of the land. They read the ground with care, even if they never saw the forces working below. The Caribbean volcanic arc shaped decisions at every level. Nothing about early survival was simple. Villages needed reliable water, so people placed homes near natural catchments in volcanic depressions. They avoided deep valleys that could channel fast-moving debris. they avoided unstable cliffs, though some still collapsed without warning. The land forced them into constant assessment. They watched the color of steam rising from vents. They tracked changes in small springs. They noted tremors that shook loose stones from higher slopes. These landscapes demanded discipline long before the concept existed in spoken form. A group could not afford to ignore signals. Each sign mattered. A change in smell near a vent, a shift in the sound of underground water, a new crack in hardened lava. People learned these signs by living among them day after day. Their knowledge did not come from myth or ritual in this chapter of their story. It came from observation. It came from survival. Across the ridge, a section of ground sinks slightly under a researcher's weight. The soil gives a faint sigh as air escapes through hidden gaps. Beneath the surface, cooled lava tubes run in chaotic patterns. Some are thick enough to walk through. Others are narrow and unstable. Early communities would have known these tubes as hazards. They avoided building over them. They placed homes where the ground felt solid and responded evenly to pressure. Mistakes were costly. A collapsed tube could swallow part of a pathway or take down a structure built too close to its edge. Archaeological evidence shows that early communities were not passive inhabitants. They shaped the land as much as it shaped them. They carved small channels to direct rainwater away from soft slopes. They reinforced walkways with stone to prevent erosion. They marked zones where ash collected thickly and avoided planting there until the next season. Their work shows intention. It shows a calculated balance between opportunity and threat. Volcanic soil gave food. The minerals within it supported strong root systems and high yields. This advantage kept people anchored to these islands. Even after eruptions destroyed homes, survivors returned. The ash that buried their structures also fed future crops. This cycle created a tension that never eased. The land punished and rewarded in the same breath. No community could ignore either side. One site near an old lava field offers a rare look at a settlement frozen in transition. Tools lie in positions that suggest hurried departure. A clay hearth remains intact near the edge of a terrace. The ash around it shows rapid buildup. The people who lived there chose this slope for its soil and for the water source nearby. They left because the ground shook and fire rose through the dark. They returned only after the land cooled enough to shape again. Researchers step back from the ridge in silence. The wind picks up and lifts thin grains of ash around their boots. Every mark on this landscape carries memory. Each layer of debris tells of a choice made under pressure. These islands forced early communities to adapt, move, and reevaluate the ground beneath them. Nothing about life here was stable. Every day required awareness. Every night held uncertainty. Chapter 2: Shifting Lands, Moving People. The excavation site on Dominica sits in a clearing carved out by centuries of upheaval. Workers move dirt from a deep trench where burnt layers meet untouched soil. The exposed wall shows a sequence of destruction. One layer holds remnants of a village that once stood along a ridge. Above it lies a band of ash, thick enough to mark an eruption that shattered everything. Higher up sits evidence of rebuilding. The pattern repeats more than once. Entire communities built, destroyed, rebuilt, then destroyed again. This place holds the history of people who learn to live in cycles of loss. Researchers study these layers with steady focus. Each one speaks of a moment when the land forced change. The lower layer shows sturdy floors built from hardened volcanic rock. The ash above them contains fragments of pottery that broke under sudden force. The upper layers show lighter construction, as if later inhabitants built with the idea that they might have to leave again. These signs of uncertainty reveal how volcanic islands shaped choices long before written accounts. Travel records carved into stone tools link Dominica to Martinique through early canoe routes. The islands stand close along the volcanic arc, forming a chain of high peaks and unstable ground. When eruptions struck one island, survivors moved along this chain. They followed currents and watched for familiar shapes in the distance. The journey was not easy. The sea changed fast around these volcanic structures. Shallow slopes near the coast hid reefs. Steep underwater cliffs created unpredictable swells. Every trip carried risk, but staying near a destroyed village carried more. Archaeologists find remnants of early canoe landings on multiple islands. These sites sit near sheltered coves formed by ancient lava flows. The shape of the coastline guided navigation. Sharp points of rock marked safe entry routes. Old coral shelves created natural barriers. People learned the patterns of these formations. When the land shifted, they shifted with it. When an island changed shape after an eruption, travelers adapted their routes. They followed signs left by others, trusting knowledge passed through generations. Deeper inland on Martinique, excavations reveal another kind of story. Here, the ground rises sharply into the island's interior. The steep slopes contain fertile ridges where communities planted crops. Between these ridges lie narrow valleys that acted as funnels during eruptions. Debris traveled fast along these paths. Early inhabitants avoided building in the valley floors. They chose the higher ground instead. It was less stable, but less deadly. The difference between danger zones and workable land shaped every settlement boundary. The volcanic topography created natural divisions. Fertile ridges gave high yields. Valleys carried risk. Water pooled in depressions formed by old flows, but those areas could fill quickly during heavy rain. People monitored the changing patterns of streams. They built small channels to direct water away from fragile slopes. They chose planting sites based on the angle of the land and the depth of the soil. Everything came back to survival. Every decision had to consider what the land might do next. A team of researchers walks along one of these ridges now. The soil under their boots shifts in texture. In some places it is soft and rich. In others it hardens into rough grains formed from cooled ash. The ridge narrows, revealing a sharp drop on one side where a landslide once cut through an old village layer. Evidence of rebuilding appears again. Stone foundations rest on top of the slide debris. People rebuilt even when the land gave them little stability. They understood the risk, but had no better option. Farther along the ridge, water drips through cracks in the rock. This water once served as a major source for families living nearby. Springs formed in volcanic terrain where rainwater passed through porous layers and collected underground. Early communities tracked these springs closely. They built homes near reliable ones and avoided placing structures where water flow seemed inconsistent. A failed spring meant hunger and migration. A strong one meant stability until the next eruption threatened it. On the coastline of Martinique, a small excavation reveals a pattern of post holes arranged in a careful semicircle. These posts supported lightweight structures. The arrangement shows that people moved toward the coast after inland destruction. The coastline offered safer ground and easier travel to nearby islands. It also provided access to fish and trade. But danger existed there too. Tsunamis triggered by volcanic activity struck without warning. Settlers had to balance the threat of the sea with the threat of the land. These shifts in population did not happen all at once. They unfolded in phases. A ridge collapse forced some families toward the coast. A major eruption pushed larger groups to move. When the land recovered, some returned inland. Over generations, these cycles formed a pattern. It connected movement, knowledge, and survival into a single system. People learned to travel light. They built homes that could be abandoned and rebuilt. They shared warnings through memory. A crack in the earth meant one thing. A sudden silence from a spring meant another. Researchers analyzed charcoal samples from the coastal excavation. The samples marked different occupation periods. Some layers show long stays. Others show brief returns before another eruption forced movement once more. This pattern supports what they see across the region. Life on volcanic islands required constant adjustment. No group could depend on a single location for long. The land controlled the timeline. People followed it. In one section of the coastal dig, the team uncovers tools shaped for both farming and travel. Canoe paddles lie near stone knives used for clearing small garden plots. The tools show that people maintained the ability to leave at any moment. They farmed the land but never trusted it fully. They built canoes but did not drift aimlessly. Each choice reflects a mindset shaped by dangerous ground. They lived with both opportunity and threat every day. In the interior of Dominica, a path curves through a forest that hides remnants of earlier settlement lines. Researchers follow this path until they reach a flat area with a wide view of distant peaks. This overlook offered strategic value. From here, early communities could track changes in the skyline. Smoke rising from a peak signaled danger. A shift in the shape of a cloud band hinted at heat rising from underground. People relied on these signs to decide when to move. They passed this system of observation through families, building knowledge through survival rather than formal instruction. Close to the overlook, researchers uncover fragments of a structure that once held stored food. The design suggests planning for long stays, but the thin layer of ash inside the storage pit shows a sudden end. The community that built it left quickly. They carried what they could. What they could not carry stayed behind. The ash sealed it until today. Farther down the slope, the team finds a more complex feature. A section of stone pathway built over uneven terrain. The stones form a narrow trail with rough edges. The trail connects higher ground to the coastal areas. It was built to withstand movement over loose soil. This path reflects the constant need to relocate. It links two different risk zones, giving early inhabitants a way to move between them depending on which danger threatened most at a given time. In the records carved by the land, a clear truth emerges. People living on these islands faced a constant fight between staying and moving. Every eruption pushed them to rethink everything. Every quiet period encouraged them to rebuild. Their resilience came from adaptation. Their survival came from knowledge tested under pressure. Communities tracked volcanic behavior long before geology defined it. They learned which ridges to avoid. They learned how far debris could travel. They learned when to leave and when to return. These lessons formed the backbone of their movement. Without them, life on these islands would have ended. Nothing about this environment stayed the same for long. Land rose and fell, soil hardened, then washed away. Rivers cut new channels through loose ash. Entire coastlines changed after major eruptions. These changes forced people to stay alert. They had to adjust faster than the land reshaped itself. Those who did not move with the shifts paid the price. Every cycle of destruction left its mark. Every rebuilding left another. The islands themselves became a map of choices made under pressure. Each layer of ash speaks to a turning point. Each ridge path tells of a journey taken because the earth demanded it. Chapter 3, Civilization at the Edge of Fire. The morning begins at a dig site pressed against the lower flank of an old volcanic vent. The ground is uneven and broken. Heat still rises faintly through fractures, even though the last eruption occurred long before written memory. Archaeologists work in steady lines, brushing away volcanic dust to reveal a set of ceremonial objects placed with careful precision. The items lie in a shallow depression formed by past activity. Their position suggests intention, not chance. Someone placed them near the vent long ago, in a space where the earth once glowed red. The objects include carved stones shaped with smooth edges. A few pieces of decorated pottery sit nearby. Nothing about them shows signs of everyday use. Their placement near the vent hints at meaning tied to the land's power. These finds mark the start of a deeper question. People did not only fear these forces, they tried to understand them. They tried to place themselves within a world shaped by pressure rising from below. This site offers the closest look at how ancient communities viewed the land that shaped their lives. The dig team documents the layout with slow, deliberate steps. Each artifact rests at the boundary where hardened ash meets older soil. The contrast between layers tells a clear story. The objects were set down after a cooling period. They were not abandoned during panic. They were placed with intention after the land settled. This suggests a moment of return, a moment when survivors stepped back into a place that once forced them to flee. They came with purpose. They brought objects that carried weight in their world. Farther along the slope, evidence of early agriculture rests beneath a thin layer of volcanic dust. The soil here is dark and rich. It contains minerals brought up through violent eruptions. Once the heat faded and the ash cooled, the ground became one of the most fertile places in the region. People planted crops that fed growing communities. These soils supported expansion. They allowed villages to grow into larger networks, supported by food that came directly from volcanic renewal. Archaeologists walk beside a terrace carved into the slope. The edges remain sharp despite erosion. This terrace once held rows of crops, water flowed through channels that are still visible. These channels directed runoff and prevented flooding during heavy rain. The system shows careful engineering. It reflects knowledge drawn from generations of trial. People learned how to shape volcanic land to produce steady yields. The work strengthened their communities and allowed population growth. Fertile soil offered stability when the rest of the landscape felt unpredictable. Near the terrace stands a cluster of stones that formed part of a seasonal shelter. The stones sit wide apart, marking the foundation of a structure used only during certain times of the year. People moved between inland and coastal sites depending on conditions. When the land near the vents grew restless, groups shifted closer to the coast. When the sea became unreliable, they moved back inland. This pattern formed a long-term strategy. They never depended on one zone alone. They spread their chances across different parts of the island to reduce risk. Seasonal relocation became part of life. It required planning, stored food, and well-maintained routes. Early communities balanced danger with knowledge, using these shifts as tools for survival. They understood the signs of rising volcanic pressure. They recognized changes in the ground, in the water, in the air. This understanding became a cultural foundation. It shaped how they built homes, how they farmed, and how they viewed the land beneath their feet. Deep inside the dig site, researchers uncover a stone platform built with remarkable precision. It sits on firm ground away from loose slopes. The placement suggests a gathering point. Ceremonial objects rest nearby, unchanged by time except for thin layers of dust. The platform's location is significant. It stands within view of several volcanic peaks. Each peak once held power over the people here. They mapped their world through these mountains. Their daily choices depended on the peaks that shaped the skyline. The arrangement reveals how volcanic forces influence cultural meaning. People interpreted the land not only as a threat, but as a source of identity. They recognized the strength in the mountains. They felt the ground shift and heard the deep sounds that came before eruptions. These experiences shaped collective memory. Over generations, memory turned into shared understanding. This understanding guided how they organized space, how they structured community life, and how they approached the dangers that defined their world. Near the platform, a pit filled with mixed soil and fragments of burned wood shows where gatherings once took place. The pit holds traces of controlled fire. People used it to prepare food during communal events. The remains suggest that these gatherings were not everyday affairs. They appear linked to moments of return after volcanic activity. When the land cooled enough to approach, groups came together. They ate, shared stories, and assessed the terrain. These gatherings helped rebuild community after loss. Farther up the slope, researchers find evidence of dispersed housing. Small clusters of stones mark where homes once stood. Each cluster sits at a distance from the next. This spacing reduced risk. If one structure fell during a ground shift, others remained safe. The pattern shows intentional planning. People understood that survival depended on spreading out. High-density living carried too much danger in this environment. They built in clusters, but never in tight groups. Along the outer ridge, a stone-lined path leads toward a viewpoint overlooking a wide valley. The valley floor contains ash layers that hide ancient failures. Eruptions turned parts of this valley into channels of destruction. But once the land cooled, the valley also offered strong soil for new crops. The viewpoint allowed early communities to watch for signs of change. They monitored wind direction, volcanic smoke, and other signals that helped them decide when to gather and when to separate. The ridge path links inland farmland to seasonal housing near the coast. This link formed the backbone of long-term settlement strategy. People moved along this route regularly. They transported supplies. They shifted entire households when danger rose. They measured risk with each journey. They carried knowledge, tested by generations of unpredictable events. These long-term strategies did more than protect communities. They shaped civilization. The choices people made in response to volcanic activity influenced the way they organized society. They built governance around observation. They shaped daily life around mobility. They valued knowledge of the land as a critical skill. Each decision carried cost. Every improvement had limits. But together, these choices allowed them to endure. Archaeologists gather near the vent as the day ends. The light fades across the valley, revealing the shape of distant peaks against the sky. The team reviews the artifacts collected from the ceremonial site. Each object holds the weight of a community that lived with constant uncertainty. The people who placed these items understood danger as part of their world. They did not run from it, they worked with it. They read signs, they planned ahead. They built lives on unstable land and shaped a civilization defined by resilience. Across the Caribbean basin, these patterns appear again. Volcanic forces gave fertile soil that supported growth. They created landscapes that demanded respect. They influenced language, movement, memory, and belief. Even after these communities faded, the land kept their story preserved in stone, ash, and terraces carved into ancient slopes.